I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reports and communications, superintendent update.
Okay, I just have a few things on the update. Just a reminder that this Saturday is the Rennie Dinner at Bear River. If you're going, be safe, enjoy, and spend lots of money for the kids. And then Rennie rallies will be in March, so Wheatland L, if I have these dates right, and they'll correct me if I don't. Wheatland L is March 11th, Lone Tree March 12th, and Bear River March 13th. Okay? Summer camp registration will open on April 24th and close on May 1st. And it'll be an open window. They have to be a current TK through 8th grade student to participate in camp. Preschoolers and incoming TK are not eligible for camp. And then next year's after-school program registration will start on May 22nd at 4 p.m. and will be full by 4:02, most likely. So if anybody's wanting to get their child into the after-school program, you better be on at 4 o'clock on the 22nd. TK Roundup starts on March 2nd, TKK Roundup. So that'll be all of our new enrolling students coming to put in their papers. And it just starts on the 2nd, but it's open forever. And then the Educators That Make a Difference Awards, we have two tables reserved for us, is on April 23rd. And I'll get you more information about that as we get closer. And then I wanted to report that the district received a donation of a stand-up freezer and some frozen food. We have put it in the portable. That will be the food and clothing pantry. Thank you to our maintenance staff and grounds for going to get that and unloading it. Once we have the other shelving, then we'll be able to get it all stocked up with the clothing and whatever else we put in there. Just want to reiterate for the crowd, no money for this is coming from the district. It's all from volunteers. All right, so I'll move on to the attendance report. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,359 students. It's 6 less than we had last year at this time, and 3 less than last month. We have 74 students in the preschool, which is 23 less than last year and 2 more than last month. And then, so totally we have 1,433, which is 29 less than last year and 5 less than last month. And then the next two, 2.3 and 2.4, we will not have a CBO report tonight as our CBO is out ill. And then the superintendent search update, that is just a placeholder for all upcoming meetings. There is no report by the county tonight. But I will say that the position opened on February 12th and closes on March 13th at 5 p.m. And they will be at the next board meeting, I believe, to do an update. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Communication from the public on items not on the agenda. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns about anything on the consent agenda?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. Moving on to action items. 5.1, approve the 2026-2027 Newton School District Parent Handbook.
Okay, so this is an annual update on the handbook. Jody usually takes charge of this and does all the changes that have been requested. And so in the handbook, hopefully I gave the right one, and the yellow is what is new. If the yellow is not coming out, then yeah, it is. So that's all the new stuff. All the rest has been in there for many years. 1 year, it just depends. We have some changes that happen due to law changes and whatnot, but this is the updated one. The administration has gone through it multiple times, and it's there for your approval. and answer any questions.
Are there any questions?
Again, it's an annual update.
Annually, this is done annually?
Yeah.
Can I have a motion to accept then, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The handbook motion carries. 5.2, approve the non-reelection release of probationary and temporary certificated employee resolution 252604.
So again, this is something we do every year. This year is not quite as a large of a group as there has been in the past, because the only people I put on the group this on the release this year are non-credentialed employees. And so that means that they have to prove to us before they can get rehired that they're at least moving in the right direction to get their credential. Otherwise, they will not be hired. And there's a couple of them that I believe will not be rehired due to the fact that they've done nothing. And they were on a STIP, which is a one-year credential, and it expires on January or July 1st. And if they've done no schooling, then they cannot get another STIP. So there'll be a couple that probably won't be back. But other than that, the other ones, most of them I know have started on their program. One of them that we've had for a few years now, he's done his program, he's just waiting to pass the test. So he'll be back, and so will some of the others, but there are a couple that won't be.
And what does STIP stand for?
You can't ask me that question.
Sorry.
it's a temporary... Substitute temporary intern. So you can only get it for a year. The weird thing is you can only get it for a year in one district, but then you can go to another district and get it for a year from them. But they can't be here 2 years in a row with a STIP.
So for the ones that are not coming back, does that mean we're going to have positions, or do we have open jobs?
Yes, we will have positions. We don't expect to lose any positions. So the only one, we will have open positions this year for our retirees. We have a few of them from Lone Tree, especially WCA, that they're being, they're military and they're being transferred, so we'll have open positions there. And then any of these that don't come back will open their positions.
Any other questions?
And the reason it comes to the February meeting, is they have to be noticed by March 15th. And there's been cases where districts have done this on March 14th, expect to go notice their people, and the people are out sick that day, and then it doesn't, because you have to actually hand it to them. So we do it far in advance so that we can make sure that we get it to them.
Thank you for doing that.
If there are no other questions, can we have a motion to accept, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5.2 carries. 5.3,
okay. So this is informational. Every year, at this time of year, we have to do a mid-year report. It is not for approval, it's just to, so what you have in your board packet is the actual LCAP, and you can see onto the right-hand side what has been entered of things that we've done. But I also have a PowerPoint that I think is worthy of going through, if you don't mind. It's got some good information and some things that we need to work on. So, this is my question. All right, so the California School Dashboard is based on LCAP data, okay? And so what you'll see is the lower performance, you're in the red, the highest performance, you're in the blue. If you're in the yellow and green, you're working towards it. It's very few districts that would be in the blue. Green is what we strive for. Blue is what we would love to elevate to, but I don't know anybody that gets it. So there's eight state measures. There are academic performance in English language arts, chronic absenteeism, English language English learner progress, high school graduation rate, which we don't have, suspension rate, college and career readiness, which we don't have, and science. And then you have the standards, the five local indicators. So these are not based on testing of students. These are based on what I turn in to the state, which is the basic conditions of the district, implementation of academic standards, school climate surveys, parent involvement and family engagement, and access to courses, so making sure that all students have access to take classes. And then there's 14 different groups of students that are monitored by California because of Every Student Matters. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there's, you can rest assured there's 14 of them listed right there. And then what's new or different for 2025, they have some academic growth data, which will be available for ELA and math in grades 4 through 8. They have teacher assignment monitoring, so we were just talking about that. If we have somebody who's not credential, that's a strike against us. And so you have that. You have the California Science Test, which is now part of the whole dashboard. There's updates on criteria for differential assistance for long-term English learners and English learner progress indicators, so that's for second language students. There's updates on college and career, but we don't do that. And then there's CalPAS data, that quality and certification is now included as criteria determined in differential assistance status. So differential assistance is where the state says, hey, we're here to help. They have levels, and level one is okay because you're there basically to say, we need some help, we don't want to be at the bottom levels where they're coming in and telling you how to do your programs. State indicator scores. So you can see that you'll be able to see that if you're low, medium, high, very high, if you've increased, if you've declined, all of that information is in there. It's interesting to me that they do the decline and increase because it's really not the same kids, right? They're comparing third grade kids last year to third grade kids this year. So how do you know if they declined or increased because it's not the same children?
Well, and this year they moved the bands.
Right.
So even like the score bands, which is smoke and mirrors, they changed your what was considered proficient, your cut points for each of those bands.
Yeah.
So,
but for me, you know, it's like we've been telling for years and years and years at the state, if you don't compare the same kids, you're not getting relevant data. You're just saying that this third grade did better than last year's third grade or did worse than last year.
So your information is really skewed then.
It is skewed, yeah.
So that, I mean, it's not consistent or,
no.
I mean, that just makes sense.
It makes no sense. But. So our result, our 2025 results on the state indicators, our district has two green. So English language arts is in the green and suspension rate, which is in the green, which that's great because it used to be in the red. Right? Because in a small school district, you can suspend two kids and you're way down. So that's good. Our English learner progress is in the red. That is very typical because the students that are coming over, they don't have a lot of English yet. And so we have to keep working and working on that. But we have a good program, it's just that they're not testing.
Well, last year that one was in the green. So
yeah.
If you look, last year it was in the green, but because it's a migrant population, a lot of times we're not testing the same kids. So once again, it's not that longitudinal data, it's a different group of kids.
Exactly. And then math, science, and chronic absenteeism were kind of in the average. So English language arts, this is just a thing that shows that we were 4 points below standard, but we increased 8.3 points, so that's great. We were in orange last year and the year before. And so had we had two or more races in white or in green, and English learners, Hispanic, socioeconomic disadvantage are in yellow, but since it's an average, we ended up in the green. And if you wanted to say what would you have to do to get into the blue, we'd have to have 14 points higher. So it's not impossible, because we did 8.3, but again, different students, just depends on who's coming through. Math, 24.1 points below standard, but we did increase by 2.9 points. So we're in the yellow, and we only need 0.1 point 3 points above standard, but we decreased by 2.3 points. And had we increased by 4.3, we would have been in the green. So that's like 5 points. And then English language, if 6 or more students had made progress, then we've moved to the orange. We decreased by 20.3%. Like Ange said, we were much higher last year. But we had 33% of our kids, almost 34% of our kids made progress. Chronic absenteeism, we've pretty much stayed in the yellow. I do believe this year we're doing a little better with the absenteeism. But if two fewer kids had been chronically absent, our indicator would have gone to green. So it's two kids that makes a difference between us being green and yellow.
But COVID messed that all up for everything.
It created a culture of it's okay to miss school. Mm-hmm. And
well, we kind of encouraged it. I mean, if you had the, you know,
California,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. So again, I think we're moving in this direction. The principals are working very hard to get our students to come to school with the new independent study program, which was not here at this time. Then it should help a lot. Suspension rate, 1.4% suspended, decreased by 1.3%. So in 2023, we were in the orange, then we went to the yellow, and now we're at in the green. And if 10 fewer students had been suspended, our indicator would have been blue. This one's a tough one for me because it's what do you do? They say don't suspend kids. But then what do you do if you don't suspend them in some situations? And we have a lot of programs and help for kids, but you're still going to have those heavy users that get suspended. So how well did each of the schools perform on the dashboard? This is kind of just a show you. Look at Lone Tree and the chronic absentee suspension. And Wheatland Charter in the suspension. So that's pretty much, they didn't have to suspend hardly anybody. And then Bear River in suspension went to green. And that's where we would have the most of our suspension, obviously, middle school. And then where did they all score in each of those areas? So you can see Wheatland Charter Academy did fantastic. Lone Tree, everybody is doing well. But these, the chronic absenteeism for Wheatland L and the ELA for Wheatland L, we only test one grade level, right? So that makes a difference. But the chronic absenteeism is not an unusual thing because that's where the babies are. You know, and they wake up with a sniffle and mom's like, you're not going to school today. If you have a seventh grader, get up and go, right? So it's not unusual to be low like that. And then how well do they do? The student groups do, so the top is all students. Then you go to African American. Now remember with African American, they do not do any of the educational scores. And then English learners, you can see what they are. Socially disadvantaged, homeless. So you can see where our biggest problems, homelessness and students with disabilities. If I were to ask you a question of what's our toughest kids to get to, that would most likely be your answer, even when you're in school. You will never find a one where it's parents are totally involved in their kids. It won't be a one. So how do we perform in comparison to the county and the state? We're right there in the middle. Yuba County, it was 3.1, and the state was 3.4. So we're right at the line of Yuba County, the 0.1 and the 0.4 were kind of there. So
achievement of our special ed students.
Would you mind going back a slide, because I have a question?
Yes.
So I see, like, in math and the chronic absentee rate, we're third and fourth in the state as far as, like, we're great, but they're yellow. So that's showing me that all the districts that are similar in size are having the same
Absolutely.
Struggles that we are.
So what you're saying here is if you're third year, you're green, because that means you're doing well. Third year, you're yellow. So most likely, there's a bunch of yellow and a bunch of red or orange, and there's not any, or maybe there could be two green, I suppose.
Okay. Perfect. So we're on path with.
Absolutely.
Or we're exceeding.
In science, but that, again, that's a new test for kids, and it's only.
It's only fifth and eighth grade.
Fifth and eighth.
Oh, shoot.
So awful.
Fifth and eighth.
Yeah.
Fifth and eighth. So,
it's
only
two grades.
Okay.
And it takes it the last 2 weeks of school.
Oh.
Yeah.
That should tell you a lot.
Yes.
I checked out 80
questions or
something. Yeah,
and
it takes them 2 days.
Okay.
And then English language progress, and that is going to be a tough one.
But hasn't the science gone back for years and years
so
and years?
In all honesty, when you look, this year we dipped in science a little bit. Last year our science scores were really good. It's kind of hit and miss.
Okay.
And this year we had the science test a little bit later than what we had the year before, and so we looked at the calendar and we're shifting our testing a little bit to try to combat that, because the closer you get to graduation, the less likely we are that they are going to perform learning.
But let's also remember, it's not the same group of kids as last year.
Correct.
Different fifth and different eighth. So.
But eighth grade last year was a pretty solid group.
Yeah. So, the LCAP media report, we're all required, the district's required to update the board before the end of February, so that's what we do at the February meeting. It goes out to the public. Plans for any changes that need to be made based on revised estimates of revenue, budgeted expenditures, et cetera, and then the shared availability of mid-year outcome expenditures. So that's what's in your agenda, and it's available to the public because it's on the website. So here are the school districts that they rank us against. So you were talking about